And when he finds the internet, he's like, wet t-shirt contest.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Good evening, Ted Willett. It is episode 134 on this wonderful, nice, cooling down Saturday night.
Yes.
How the hell are you?
I'm good.
Nice. So we have some of my homebrew tonight.
Finally.
Yeah. I'm excited what you think about it, because after you brew for so long, you wind up with like a surplus of ingredient. And This was just a bunch of stuff that I kind of had lying around. And I had some extra hop here, and I had some grain. I got a dry English ale yeast. And, you know, I know how to make beer, so I put this together. It's like, I don't even know what it is. So I think parts of it were supposed to be a Scotch ale. Parts of it were supposed to be an IPA. Then, you know, the dry English yeast I wanted to do because that's kind of more along the lines of a Scotch ale, maybe like a British IPA, not a West Coast or New England. So we'll see what we get. I'm curious what you think.
So, and then the aging process, like when did you pull it out?
Oh, when did I bottle
it?
Well, it went into, okay, I could probably figure it out. It went into the carboy to ferment on August 23rd.
Right.
That was the brewing date.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, I think I bottled this on September 5th.
September 5th.
Yeah, that was a Monday, September 5th.
And then you kept it for a month just in the bottles. Then you sent it with Frank, right, down here.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong date. Jeez, I'm getting this wrong. September 7th, Labor Day is when I did it. Yeah.
Oh, right.
September 7th.
Cool.
Yeah, because I had time. So I'm going to put that in my notes. Yeah, so September 7th is when I put it into the bottle. And, you know, it takes a few weeks to carbonate and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you want to age it a little bit because it's, like, really young and stuff. So then that's why I was saying you want to keep it warm.
Right.
Well, not warm, but like
room temperature.
Maybe slightly cooler than that if you can do it. And yeah, and then, you know, about 5-6 days in the refrigerator, so it kind of clears up and all the proteins drop out and everything. And here we are, ready to have it. We're sitting at 10.35% alcohol.
Nice.
So it's a pretty heavy duty, and
not like that 14% Scotch ale you had. On the cap.
Yeah, no, that one was huge.
Awesome.
You have a cap. So I did like 50-50 cap and cork. So, and mine is corked. So I don't think there's any difference, quite frankly, but.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got a little like break from the, oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm getting.
Ooh, nicely carbonated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's all natural and stuff too. So, all right, let me get mine popped.
That's a nice little short cork. Okay. It doesn't go down too far.
Well, this bottle's kind of different, so. All right.
Should I wait for you to drink it, or can I drink it?
No, I'll hear your note.
It's incredibly milky for all the ways that you describe it. It has like a weird stout IPA battle going on.
Yeah, it's malty. I know that, you know, and I would agree with you. I mean, it's 95 IBU, so it's super high in the bitter, but. What I did was I took all the stuff I had. I didn't know I knew what the hops were and everything, but what I did, I didn't know how the hops would play out. So I just broke them all into 7 equal additions. So I think it was like 5 ounces worth of hops or something ridiculous.
Is that a lot or a little?
No, that's kind of a lot, right?
Okay.
Because they're high in alpha acids and all the nonsense. But so I broke them into 7 equal additions, and every 10 minutes, the reason I say 7, every 10 minutes going all the way to 0, I added them. And then,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's how I did it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it gets better the more you drink it. Maybe that's because you start getting buzzed and you can't taste it anymore. But.
So when did you start? You started drinking this on when you bottled it, or no? Not right when you bottled it.
I taste them all on bottling day because we talked about that. But I think I had my first one when Frank was here like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and it has changed a little bit, and it will continue to change. But overall, I mean, I think it's pretty good. It's, like you said, it has that little bit of malty flavor.
It's not, but it's cool because, you know, Anne's in the kitchen and she throws together a meal from like the stuff we have in our fridge, and she just like makes it this great thing, you know, and you can taste that this is like not a consumer, you know, it falls in this hybrid area where it feels like you. It's a treat to drink it because it's not something you could find.
Yeah, exactly.
Like find something like this. Yeah.
If I was doing like a Pliny the Elder clone, and let's say I just hit the mark and it's like exactly like it because I did the perfect clone, well, then it's Pliny the Elder, right? Like, you know, like, yeah, I brewed it and like, wow, I'm good at brewing. Gee, but something like this, though, it's like you said, you just take what's in the fridge and you kind of make a good meal. I just took what I had from like all this surplus stuff I had and made beer out of it.
It feels like it's like an IPA bomb, which you don't normally get the combination of like a bomb. When you see a bomb on, it's more of a stout.
Right. Right.
So it's neat to have that both of us.
Yeah, cool. Bottles. I'm glad.
This is a $25 bottle of beer right here, I bet.
Oh, if you were to buy this?
No, I'm just saying, like, if we, you know, put some marketing.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I would agree
we can
with
protect,
that.
You
I
know, mean, Fremont.
Yeah, you know? Like, it's, yeah, exactly. It's not your blonde ale that you'd get, or, you know, it's like one of those one off, like, they come out with, like, their only batch. Yeah. From Stone Brewing or something.
Exactly.
And they did a one-off batch. You know what's funny, though? When you look at those one-off batches, I'm convinced now they're like, wait, we have all this extra stuff. We got to get it out of here. Inventory's about to happen. We need to clear out the inventory so we don't pay inventory tax. And let's just...
A brewmaster special.
Yeah, and we'll just like throw it together and then we'll sell for $25 a bottle. All right, man. So what's going on this week? How you been?
I've been good. This week, the big news was that I moved the office from the dining room to the Man Cave guest house. So that's allowed me to watch a lot more stuff and just clock a lot more hours. How about you? How's your week?
One of the reasons why we're recording on a Saturday and not a Friday, as is typical... Today we were up about 6 a.m., had the boys all up. We all went out, and we did a community cleanup.
Oh,
and
cool.
One of the things, you know, when you're riding your bike everywhere, you're seeing the city between 10 to 15 miles an hour everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. On the downhills, maybe a little bit quicker. But one thing when you're not going past at... How's it smell? I love how Ted... He smells his microphone pop filter.
I wasn't smelling my microphone.
That was great. I couldn't keep it in. I just see his nose go right into it. I'm like, what is he doing? And I was going to try and ignore it, but I couldn't, man. Okay. Sorry about that. I couldn't,
no, it's
I
all
couldn't
right.
help it. That was too...
Community cleanup today.
Yeah. So one thing when you're riding your bike around town and stuff, you see... All the trash everywhere. I mean, it's like everywhere, man. It's like compounding exponentially. And it's what you don't see when you're going past at 50 miles an hour or something, you know, with the windshield perspective. I get an email on Friday afternoon from the Associated Student Body President, whatever, you know, student, sends it out to everybody, staff and everything. And they say, oh, this community cleanup at the drive-in where they film Paddleton, by the way.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's where we met and cleaned up. And we went across Highway 1 and me and Clarissa and the fam, we cleaned up the whole bike trail area over there and other people helped. And I mean, there was probably... I don't know, 50 people. One of them was one of the mayoral candidates, Victor Vega, here in town. And a lot of people, a lot of teenagers from the high school that I work at. And it was cool to see a lot of youth out taking part in a community cleanup. Overall, we filled literally in this small area. We filled up two, you know what a roll-off is, right? The big roll-off?
Yeah.
Yeah, we filled up two of those suckers. Incredible.
Like the full size.
The full size. Yeah. Massive amount of trash was picked up. It's shocking there's so much trash. I mean, it's shocking. The other thing.
And this is just around like the parking lot of the sign that was the drive-in.
Yeah. And we went up and down Highway 1 maybe like a half mile in either direction, or I don't know, some maybe not that far, you know, a third of a mile in either direction up and down from like the main parking lot area.
Well, they just give you a poker and a stick.
Yeah, and then we had the white, what do you call it? Like the white adopt a highway bags, and okay, yeah, there was all that. And they had snacks, and you know, so we had a bunch of different snacks too and stuff.
And you just fill the bags and then they go around with a truck and then they pick them up and throw them in the thing, right?
More or less, yeah. We wound up just carrying them over there. It wasn't that big of a deal. But yeah, we probably, me, the boys, and Clarissa, we probably filled 7 of those bags maybe. We pushed about 9 shopping carts over and it was a shocking amount of trash. I mean, and
yeah,
and I would say, you know, I mean, there was this one, I'm like, what the heck is this? I just picked it up and it was like kind of buried in weeds and stuff, but like one of those huge, like 4x8 like plastic tables, you know, wow, those fold out tables. And,
yeah.
It's like, it's amazing that the junk you find on the side of the road, man. And this is like Highway 1 that people like take their vacations on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's unbelievable. I mean, that was probably the big thing of the week. And then another thing, we're just doing more minimalism stuff. So we've gotten back into that and trying to find ways to just not have to clean so many surfaces in the house. So it's like, let's get rid of some furniture, you know, so, but yeah,
it's just collecting dust.
Yeah. Like I'd rather clean the house in 2 hours than spend 8 hours or something or however long it takes. But yeah.
Right.
Tonight we have a bit of a theme, sir, among these three movies.
It feels like
a theme.
I wasn't going to put Soul in at the end, but you know,
well,
because of the theme of the other two, it felt right.
Soul fits. Soul fits. Yeah. So we could talk about the theme after. We'll see if we come to the same conclusions or the same conclusion of our theme.
Okay.
So let's start with Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Monster Hunter?
So we finally get to see the movie that was finishing up filming when Ann and I were going to the Starbucks in Burbank. Because when we went to the office, I forget whether it was end of last year or the beginning of this year, because it all blends together now. But
why do you know somebody who did this movie?
Well, we ran into Mila Jovovich for like,
that's right,
2 weeks straight.
I remember you talking
ran
about
into
that.
Her like 3-4 times a week at the Burbank Starbucks. So she must have been doing pickups or, you know, the end product of this movie.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
What do you think about the trailer? The trailer, it's come back. It's a little different. It's more of like a bookend.
First line of my notes. So here's the funny thing, though. Earlier tonight, we were talking about dragons for some reason, me and Clarissa.
Because that's what you do on a Saturday night.
It's a Saturday night. You're cooking dinner. Let's talk about dragons. You know, so she made the comment like, well, who doesn't like dragons? Sure enough, I put on the trailer. First thing I see is a dragon. I said, and Clarissa every week wants to watch the trailers. I put it on. She goes, oh, sweet, dragons. And it comes complete with the trailer to the trailer. What else do you want, right?
But it's kind of like a weird trailer. I think if you had it, it's almost like it was on a loop and it just started at the end and then it just, you know, took the end on.
Because
it's like a bookend.
Right. The trailer is her running at the dragon.
Which is the last
scene. Yeah. So it could just like, it could have just gone round and round and round. Because if you put it on a loop, then you see that scene 2 times in a row.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you just overlap them. You know,
exactly
on the reel.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks okay. It looks like straight up just I'm gonna sit there and just be zombified. Feed it to me, you know, just feed it to me and when it's over, it's over. And I don't think there's much substance to this movie.
Did you think that of Old Guard?
Old Guard, no, I thought the Old Guard had a lot. Well, although am I talking trailers or am I talking the movie to the trailer?
We saw both of these trailers.
Right.
I felt like they had both, you know, these strong female leads in the desert, you know,
it
with
did
some
remind
kind of
me.
Military thing going on around them. You know, completely different. They're not immortals.
Right.
But some magical stuff's going on there.
Sure.
You know, they're getting teleported.
I think the Old Guard left me with a few questions that I felt mm-hmm. needed to be answered. And they really didn't answer it, though, because they were, well, they sort of did in the old guard when it was
like.
But
there's more to come. There's more to come.
Right. But how did they become immortal and stuff? And then right. it was like, oh, let's go capture them and we could get their genetics and figure it all out. And they kind of just, they kind of led into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what leads to the electric storm that teleports them into this parallel yeah. universe. I don't even think I care what leads to the electric storm that parallels them there. Just it's kind of like that old dinosaur movie, Land of the Lost. What was it? Were they?
Yeah, that was it.
Is that what it was?
That was one of them.
Were they kind of like they were in a submarine or something or whatever it was, and they like they emerged there and like.
Oh right. I think they went on one of them they went in a raft, right? And the raft went under the.
Maybe it was a raft.
The falls. It went into the
that's
falls
what
and
it
came
was.
Up from the falls. It was like you're in the desert land.
Yeah, that's place. What it was. Like,
I mean, the
okay, sure.
Dinosaur place.
I don't care what the storm is about or some alien thing or something. It doesn't, it's like, but I did care about how they became immortals. So I think this movie, Monster Hunter, leaves me less curious as to why it's all happening.
Ah, okay.
And like I said, I'll just sit there, I'll be a mouth breather for 2 hours, just feed it to me, and it'll end. I do. Yeah. I did laugh at when the woman's driving the Humvee, and like she's like, "We gotta get out of here," and she like you see her like as if she's hitting the gears and slamming the pedal. For one thing, I drove Humvees. Uh-huh. They're automatics. The second thing about Humvees, they're not fast at all. I mean, you slam the gas, you might go from 30 to 35 in like 0 to 60. You know, I mean, it's like I don't even get that scene. It's not like this thing's like a Ferrari, you know. So that was a little bit annoying. Yeah, okay. You know, you have this bunch of military people in this ranger unit, I guess, because she has like a ranger scroll on her.
Okay, I didn't pick up that detail.
Yeah, but
okay.
She doesn't have a ranger tab, so she didn't go to ranger school.
Inconsistent. They're very inconsistent.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I know all the military people out there right now listening are like, yeah, man, preach it, brother. No, but I don't know. I mean, whatever. I don't even care about the military details and what their weapon systems are and stuff.
Right.
That's irrelevant to me.
Does the dragon look cool?
Yeah, yeah, dragon looks like the one in Game of Thrones. It's probably the same dragon for all I know.
Just reuse the dragon.
Yeah, just reuse the dragon. The code's already been written. No, and then they meet like, I don't know, what is it, like some tribal warriors or something?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have magical bows and arrows or something. I mean, or swords. I don't know, man.
And they know just where to hit the dragon.
Yeah. And then there's like dragonish triceratops.
Oh, right,
and
right,
then
right.
Dragonish yeah. monster spiders or something, and whatever. You know it's a great movie when your 7-year-old's like, whoa, those monsters look amazing. And I'm ripping on this movie a little too much. Maybe I shouldn't. But
that's all right.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's like Stargate. It has a Stargate feel to
yes.
it. Yes. That's the part that interests me. Like
okay.
I liked Stargate in the beginning, but I don't know, it kind of got ridiculous and I never got into the MacGyver ones.
That's what I'm afraid of, is that, you know, it's going to be cool until it's not. And then you're like, well, I'm in this far. There's 40 minutes to go, you know? And it's going to be one of those movies where, like, you know, you're with the remote and you're like, how much time is left?
Not to jump the gun to what we're watching, but I'll give you what I wasn't watching this week, and it was Terminator Dark Fate.
Okay.
I turned it off halfway through.
Was it that bad?
It felt... Well, I've been watching a lot of great television, and it's shot really well, and it's shot with good cameras and stuff, and it felt like this one was felt like a TV shoot.
Like a Mexican soap opera.
Like a telenovela, yeah.
Telenovela. All right, man, this next one, and here, this is, I thought we were going down this as a theme until I saw the last one, but 9 Days, another Sony picture.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, okay, so you thought it was going
well,
down
the
Sony
route. Well,
yeah.
Initially, until we got to right. the last one, which is Disney, and that's not Sony Pictures, so I'm like, well, there goes that theme.
This one I just saw, 9 Days. Yeah, so, I mean, it has Winston Duke in it, you know, so I think he's amazing, and I've seen him grow over the years and all the Marvel stuff, you know? So
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Sundance movie. So why do you think they chose 9 days and not 10? Because think about it.
Or seven. Seven would have been the classic thing.
Well, seven's kind of been done, though, right? Seven.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? And then they do, right, like the seven backwards. Mm. Yeah, I don't think they would go that route. But no, think about that. You go on a cruise, right? You're going on a, well, not these days. But you go on a cruise. It's like a 14-day cruise or a 10-day cruise. Nobody's going on a 9-day cruise. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, why do you think 9 days, just to like throw you off kilter or something?
Something different.
And they're like in purgatory or something.
You're traveling, you're traversing, you know, some kind of plane of existence, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, another parallel universe. What I do like, yes, which is kind of like that bizarro world sort of feel, is, mm-hmm, that you get all of these Facebook video shots on like, right, 80s tech. You know, it's like the, yeah, VCR, yeah, the 19-inch CRT, whatever old right, knob television and such. But it's like, but the clips are all from like Facebook or,
right,
something.
They're POV.
Yeah, POV.
Point of view.
Exactly.
Shots.
Yeah,
they
enjoyed that.
They're definitely fun. It's fun. It's a fun confinement to kind of shoot in, you know, the starkness of the one house in the desert. And then you go into it and it has this level of complexity and a metaphorical plane of existence.
So I'm assuming the whole thing to kind of takes place in this house in the desert sort of a thing.
Right.
Yeah. And at the end, they show the dudes toasting. It could mean one of two things. Like, well, we're about to embark on this cool journey that we're going to go to, this thing we signed up for. Kind of like, hey, we're going to the escape room. Let's see how we get out. Good luck. Or it's like, wow, we're on the other side and we made it out. So let's have a beer and toast each other.
We don't know if it's pre or post.
Pre or post, exactly. So I kind of like that. The trailer leaves it ambiguous in that regard. So you're kind of like, right, huh, what are they toasting to? So, but yeah, overall, though, this looks a little kind of freakish. Uh-huh. But I don't mean freakish like in a gore horror way, but just like gets the mind working, gets you thinking. Like you're going to wake up the next day and like while you're getting your day ready, brushing your teeth and doing whatever you do in the morning, you'll be mulling it over like what was the meaning of that sort of a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally get that out of this.
And so you're much more curious about this film than you are the last film. It's like,
oh, 100%.
The places that this film could go are amazing, you know?
It's,
and what if at the end of the 9 days, are we both on the same page that we think the end of 9 days camera goes dark and then it comes up and you're being born kind of thing?
Oh, I follow you. Or what if it's 9 days, 8 nights, more like a cruise? You know, like whenever you go on vacation, they always do that, right? It's like, you know, it's like
you're not going to just have 6 days of fun. You're going to have 5 nights of fun as well.
Yeah, it's like
here's the amount of fun you can have in this amount of time.
Right. Whenever you go on vacation, they never sell it as, you know, like a 7 day. It's like 6 nights, 7 days. How? I don't even know. 7 nights, 6 or 8 days or so, whatever they say, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it is 10 days, but it's 9 nights. And they're just throwing you a curveball.
Maybe.
All right, man. So I think to round out our theme here, we're looking at Soul.
I stretched it a little bit to think of Monster Hunter as traversing an astral plane.
Well, I was thinking too. Well, let me back up first. I do like the double entendre. Soul is in like
your soul,
like your non-physical being.
Right.
And then soul is in like soul music.
Of course.
Yeah. So that was, at first I thought like, oh, soul. Okay. Soul music. And he's going to be like a jazz player in like lounge act or something.
And it is, right?
And it is. But then he has his soul in this other universe. I looked at more as each one of these takes place in a parallel plane or a parallel universe.
So I like it.
What you see, what you feel, what you know, what you're doing, even in Monster Hunter, your weapon systems, your Humvee, your uniform, everything is familiar, mm-hmm, but there's like this uncanny valley of where you are and why you're there, and there's these crazy monsters. And then 9 days is exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. Everything is very familiar, but why am I watching Facebook on 80s technology? And then Soul is like, well, here's pizza, but I can't taste it or I can't smell it, and you keep slapping me in the face.
Isn't that awesome when they're just pooping it out?
Yeah, it goes in, it comes right out, you know? But, and you keep slapping me in the face, and I can't feel it. But, like, everything is familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I looked at it. Like, it's these parallel universes that are extremely familiar, but yet this one thing is off, and the one thing that's off is the defining thing of the movie.
That's cool.
Is that what you were thinking, or were you on a different track?
No, I was definitely on that track. I guess I didn't put that much thought into it, but, but yes, you nailed it even beyond, you know, whatever the theme that
was
there.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. Soul looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and once again, Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
We know it's gonna be, yes. We know it's gonna be streaming. And of course, I don't speak for any other company other than myself, but I hope it's not the Mulan, you have to pay for it, right?
Oh.
I hope it's, or like that was what, $30 for the play, you know, to play it or to rent it or whatever.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess we can see if it's a success by whether they do anything for this, or if maybe there's a scale. Maybe you don't spend, you can put it for $10 and then maybe people will pay it, you know?
So let me ask, well, I have a couple questions. So first, do you think this would have otherwise been a theatrical release?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you think Mulan was overpriced and they didn't get the number of people purchasing it that you thought they would have?
I don't know. A lot of the people in the entertainment journalism realm said it wasn't a success.
As far as numbers of people that initially viewed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course they have to estimate it because nobody talks about numbers. Yeah.
$30 is steep to watch at home for one movie.
Yeah.
I would, you know, we've rented a number of movies, you know, at home. Well, okay, if you want to go back to even like Blockbuster days and stuff, I mean, yeah, you rent movies. Right. You would rent movies. I would say in the streaming space, though, we've rented movies and everything at home, and renting movies, I would say, have been anywhere from like $4.99
right
to maybe $9.99. I would say probably nowhere north of that, or at least nowhere north of that I was willing to pay.
Yeah, because I see a lot of stuff out. It feels like at $20. $20 a rental for new stuff, and it's just like, it feels really, really steep, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think one of the things when you go out to the theater, whatever the future of the theater is, I mean, I don't want to get into that talk, but whenever you go out to the theater and you hit the concessions and maybe you go to dinner and maybe, you know, and you make a night of it, right? You right. might spend, if you think about dinner and concessions and the movie, you know, for like you and your wife or, you know, a guy and his gal or a couple of friends or whatever it is, you might spend $100. You know, if you think about it in like an entire evening. And sometimes at home you might do that. You might order pizza and then you make some popcorn for yourselves and then you rent a movie for $10 or something. And maybe with the pizza and so on, you know, for family and such, you spend like in the rental of the movie, you spend $50.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say though is, if you went out to dinner, you went out to the movies and you went to the concessions and you purchased popcorn and milk duds and whatever you're going to get, and you spent $100. Well, for one, that's a lot of money. For two, though, it's like an event.
Right.
You're out. You're doing something. You're out of the house. You went somewhere. You spent time away from home.
Right.
In this scenario, like someone brought me pizza. You know, I put it in my pie hole. I made popcorn. You know, whatever it is, like,
right.
It's not really, I mean, yes, it's fun. We're kind of hanging out. We're doing our thing. But it's not an event. So spending $20, $30 for a non-event, that's a tough call, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the movie. I like the look of it. I like the theme. It looks fun. Kind of puts you, you know, what I like too is the pre-life, not the post-life, you know, not the afterlife, but the before life.
Oh, the pre-life. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that because when you think about movies and you think about afterlife movies, I don't know how many there are. What do you think? Hundreds? Thousands?
Yeah.
Hollywood's full of afterlife movies. This may very well be the first pre-life movie I've ever seen. Before life movie.
Oh, there's pre-life. There's more pre-life movies. Is there more? Is there
okay, if it's the afterlife, do we call it the before life or the pre-life? Well, it's not post-life, so it would be before life.
Afterlife. Afterlife, before life, yeah.
Before life, yeah. But I don't know. What do you think?
I just love the idea of the space and, you know, the knowing of how what happens to the soul and the whole idea that...
How the soul becomes the soul, not what happens to
right.
the soul.
Right. How it... Well, doesn't he... He has to, like, leave his own body to, like... To be there with those souls, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
He's the one, he's the, you know, the outlier, the black sheep.
Right.
But I also love the fact that you think when he's in that space that's between the afterlife, all the stuff is like Picasso. You know, it's this impressionistic.
Sure.
All the heads and the faces are all drawn in a way that you couldn't get away with if you're doing cartoons or animation, you know? It's like, it's this whole new plane of artistic interpretation.
Yeah, I really enjoy the look of it. I mean, I'm assuming, I mean, you're a Disney guy. You're going to watch this.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think we will too. Oh, and here's an interesting thing. So the boys wanted to watch Planes, Fire and Rescue the other day.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So they've seen it a bunch of times, but they wanted to watch it on Disney Plus. So, okay, you know, I search it for him because Timmy's still like, he's trying to figure it out. He couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. So I find it. It's on Disney Plus. And it says, due to current agreements or licensing agreements, it won't be available until November 16th. And it's like, huh. So I'm like, all right, what other licensing agreements do they have? So I search Roku to see where it is. It's on Vudu and like Amazon Prime for rent, but it's nowhere else. So I'm like, really? It's there for rent, but you can't get it any. So it must be a rental agreement thing. And the rental was like $4.99. Yeah, so it wasn't or $3.99 so maybe.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad at all. All right, Ted, I know you watched a lot of stuff. So yes. I'll get into what we watched, which wasn't a lot of stuff. So then you can just like go to town and just like bury me in a wash of what you've been watching. So we got back to Ozark.
Uh-huh.
We put Ozark on hold for a little while because, you know, other shows popped up that we wanted to watch. And then, of course, The Handmaid's Tale came in and, you know, there was a number of other shows that we saw. So Ozark got put on the back burner. We got back to Ozark. And throughout the week, we've been talking and such. And I think you said it best, pucker factor. I mean, it is a pucker factor, you know? I mean, it's tough. Incredibly well written.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. It's an all-around.
Where are you sitting? Where are you sitting in the seasons?
I think we have one left for the first season.
Hmm.
And then we'll be into season two. So we're kind of moving through a little bit slow. But yeah, overall, though, I mean, it's recommended. I mean, it's solid.
It's a must.
Yeah, it's solid.
Of course, I finished it.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
I finished it pretty quickly. What else are you watching?
So we watched this movie. So I told you about how we saw Biggest Little Farm.
Yes.
It was about that farm where like they got the mm-hmm. land and it was all like thrashed, and then through like animals and whatnot, they bring it back alive and so on. We watched one with Woody Harrelson narrated called Kiss the Ground. The information was good.
Mm-hmm.
What they taught you about soil science, carbon sequestering and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Great information. They gave you no solutions. The thing about these types of documentaries, you're going to give me a documentary on trash. You're going to give me a documentary on water,
right.
You know, or I don't even care what it is.
Avocados.
Avocados or something, right? Whatever you're going to give me the documentary on, when you identify a problem that the world is facing, you have to give me solutions.
Really?
Yeah, of course. You can't just leave me hanging. Here's the problem. And then like, and now I'm just sitting with it and you end.
So, you know, being in middle management, I think you kind of understand, you get to an understanding where you pay a team to do something, right? And they give you something that you don't want. I used to give notes back that talked about solutions, that talked about, oh, you could fix this one shot by doing this. And I think the consensus among a lot of the people in our realm, or that I've heard a lot, is that you pay the creatives to be creative, why distill what you don't like about the creative into a note on how to replace it? Why not just tell them that this is the part of the thing that isn't working for you and let them expend their creativity in coming up with the answer rather than providing them an answer and limiting them? Because when you give them a suggestion, maybe they don't explore the other options that are out there because you are paying them to do something and you said, hey, how about instead of doing this, you do this? Where you should just say, I don't like this. And you figure out how to fill that void. You know, you audience figure out how to solve this problem, not me, the filmmaker. I'm shining a light on something.
Okay, shining a light, absolutely. I think what they need to do at the very minimum is, for more information, visit kisstheground.com, the movie, okay, or something. Or yeah, visit kisstheground movie.com, whatever you want
to
call your
some
website.
Some call to action.
A call to action, exactly. To find out more about how to get food from sustainable growers, visit kisstheground movie.com.
Explore how you can make a difference.
That's exactly right.
Visit Kiss the Ground. Yeah.
I don't want the movie to end and then be like, well, I guess farming sucks. Let's go to bed.
Well, it's so funny you say that because we literally we watched the movie the weekend after you watched it. The Biggest Little Farm, that is.
Oh, you did watch it.
Oh, we watched it as a family. We watched it in the out, you know, in our big projector or whatever. And
what was the consensus?
Bryce couldn't handle a lot of the really tense moments.
That's how Tim was.
He just ran out. He goes, call me when it's over. I'm like, when what's over? I don't even know what's going on. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Wow. So he was right there with Timmy then.
Yeah.
That's
well, you called it. You knew it.
Awesome. That is awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. So we convinced him that at one point he was like, I'm not coming back. It's all going to be, oh, it might've been, Greasy's death. Like, I think Bryce was like, you know,
which one was that now?
The killer dog that killed the rooster.
Oh yeah.
Bryce, like, you said this wasn't going to be like this. I was like, I don't know what happens.
And the coyote that breaks its neck and is laying there paralyzed.
Yeah.
Oh God. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
And then when the black dog with the blue eyes, what's his name? Tony or something or whatever it was.
Oh yeah. I forget. Todd.
Todd. Yeah. Todd.
Yeah.
And when that dog died, oh God, because he was the hub.
The reason, the whole reason for doing this was for him.
Yeah. Because he couldn't stop barking.
He was like a serious pack animal, and he just wouldn't stop barking without his pack there, you know?
Right. So they're like, well, I guess we better go buy a 200-acre farm. So that's cool, you guys. So what was Audrey and Anne's then?
That's what I was saying. Like, this had no call to action at the end of it, but both Anne and I independently, because we're out, you know, outside, we independently pulled our phones out and we were researching the actual farm. They're like, oh, apricot. Yeah, we can look this up. Like, it's close. And they, you know, hopefully there'll be a post COVID time where we could go and visit, you know?
Yeah. It's in Moore Park and such. So it's yeah. For you guys, it's what, 30 minutes maybe.
That's what I said. I said, you know, cause we're trying to figure it out. Frank, Barbara, you guys, us, that's 10. And they do groups of 10. So I was like, it's perfect.
Oh, that'd be amazing. We need to do it. Be like, we saw the movie. We loved it. Will you sign my autograph book?
Take a picture with me and the pig.
The deformed rooster.
Yeah.
So you know, I think when you're presenting a problem,
yeah,
to the magnitude, like, I don't think The Biggest Little Farm necessarily presented a problem. It just told you a story about the farm that they did.
But what I meant was, it compelled me to action even without a call to action.
Right.
Like their purpose for making that movie is the movie itself, but the spillover, you know, the umbrella that falls under it is people, I'm sure, want to go to this place now, even more so now, you know?
And I think the movie itself had lots of solutions dripped through it, right?
Right. Right.
So rather than isolating the ducks from the snails, they just put them together and the ducks ate the snails, you know?
Right.
And
it's like you have to, like, the whole world's population of flora and fauna took centuries, whatever, you know, to come into balance. So if you take a smaller plot of land, you need, what, 7 years for it to come into balance, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
So I'm sorry, that was more what we're watching. But the soil, what is it, kiss the soil?
No, kiss the ground.
Kiss the ground.
It's essentially how Big Agra is killing the planet.
Okay.
And okay, you know, it is what it is. I know there's better ways to farm. Help me find those farmers that are farming in that way.
Right.
Because I don't know what to look for. I'm too ignorant. No, I'm serious. I'm too ignorant.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know where she sells to, you know what I mean?
Exactly. All right. I think we beat that one up for for longer than it needed to be. So, okay, sorry. Get into your laundry list here. I'm sure you've been like taking copious notes all week.
No, not copious notes, but I have been watching stuff. So off of your suggestion for last week, Cobra Kai, it was on the top of the queue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We did finish Cobra Kai, too. I don't know if we talked about that last week or not, but we did finish it. So if you like watching teenagers beat each other up with karate, perfect. It's perfect.
If you want to relive the Karate Kid, you know, for at least 3 days, 2-3 days, I think that's what I binged.
Well, and what I love, though, is they're sitting there, and it's, I don't know, like, these guys are, like, 50 years old or whatever they are, 52, 53, they're in their 50s or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, man, yeah, that chick in high school, man, she was a hot number. Like, they're still hung up on, like, the girl in high school.
Right,
like, they're still hung up on, you know, like, the tournament. You know, it's like,
well, it flashes in their mind with this picture of precision that, you know.
Oh. And the thing is, it's like, really? Like, okay, I might have had an exciting time in high school, like, once, but, like, I don't, like, hang my entire life on that moment.
All I can say is that I think we found, like, a window into Will Smith's soul. If you want to talk about, Will Smith produced this series, and then he also produced the remake of The Karate Kid with his son in it, you know?
Right, yeah.
So he's got this thing for the Karate Kid that has this moment in time. And they even talk about a little bit about it. It's like they're licensing all these 80s rock songs, rock music, you know?
Oh, the soundtrack is great.
And it's got to be, you know, like you want to use like Jump or something from Van Halen. You have to pay like $150,000 to license it or something.
Right,
so,
right.
And I think they even made a joke in the series about that. He said to one of the students that was doing the commercial, he's like, just put Thunderstruck on it. And she goes, the guy says it's going to be really costly to get the rights.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I own it. It's out in the car.
Right. Yeah. And when he finds the internet, he's like, wet t-shirt contest.
Well, that really shocked me is the amount of drunk driving that's in it. Just inconsequential drunk driving. It's just like, it's Johnny's way of life. It's like, I just drink and I drive places. It's like nothing to them.
I know. And I don't know. I mean, overall, though, like I said, it's like teenagers beating the hell out of each other. But what I did like out of it, though, and I would love to see more series do is at the very end, January 7th, 2021, season 3. Like they tell you in the last episode, the end of the last episode, they tell you the exact date it's coming out for the third season.
Well, what's the best time to hook somebody is to like right then and there when you're coming off the high of a season finale, you know?
Exactly. How many times does a show end? Walking Dead, for example, when I was into that, Walking Dead ends. Oh my God, when's season 4 coming out? You know, and you're like Googling all over, and all you find is everybody speculating. Man, they tell you straight up here. I wish more shows would do that.
Well, Ozarks does it too. So when you get to the end of that,
thank you. You know what though? Think about it like this: what are they both? They're both Netflix.
Yep, there you go. They found the formula. They heard people complaining.
Yeah, people are probably writing in, you know.
So Cobra Kai, and then I went to Ozark. Ozark finished amazingly. It was, you know, it again.
Now, is it coming back again?
It's coming back again.
Okay.
Soon.
So we got to get our act. We got to get our backfield in motion if we're going to get on point.
Well, I think this is exactly the same point when I came back to Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
So if they could have like a Breaking Bad, because I watched two seasons of Ozark, and basically the whole first half of the second season, I forgot what had happened in the end of the first season. And I was like, oh, I vaguely remember. And because I'm out here and I'm just watching it, I just kept it on in the background. And it finally, like, it took 4 or 5 hours to kick back into, like, engaging me. But I gave it the time to play in the background. And I was, like, picking up bits and pieces. And I was like, ah, do I keep watching this? Because I'm not really watching it. I'm, like, a little, you know, all over the place. And then by the middle of the second season, by 4 or 5 episodes in, it started to pick up.
You were not into it for like 5 episodes and you stuck with it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's dedication. What compelled you to not give up? Because you told me that the Terminator, you gave up and halfway through, that's like, what, an hour?
I know. And it had some, I mean,
so why do you stick with it for 5 hours?
It's shot beautifully. Even though I didn't know what was going on, something in every episode was engaging and thought-provoking.
Okay.
So it's like, ooh, what would I, you know, I texted you about it. I was like, I think I could be a Bob Middleman.
That's right.
You know, and you put yourself in this fantasy kind of space without having any of the danger that this guy goes through.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I mean, the reward could be fantastic, but the risk is far too great.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, well, we saw him in the first season. His back was against the wall. You know, he was like dealing with that. But to come off of the Ozark kind of heaviness, I started watching Ted Lasso.
Yeah, you told me it's amazing.
Ted Lasso.
You told me you cry every episode.
I laugh and I cry in every episode. And I was going around the streams and checking them all out. And I thought today once of rewatching it already. And I watched it like 3 days ago.
Rewatched the whole season?
Yeah. I was thinking about like, which episode should I rewatch?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, it's just built so well. It's just,
and
like,
what are they? 30 20. Minutes?
Yeah, 25, 30 minutes, 35, 25 to 35 minutes, I guess.
And what platform?
Apple TV Plus.
Ah, okay.
And it sucks because I think, like, you know, I said, who's going to get this for Ted Lasso? But it's amazing. It's right there.
And my friend Brian, I was talking to him, and he, you know, they got new iPhones or whatever, and so they get Apple TV Plus and stuff and on the iPhone. So he wants to watch, or he did watch Greyhound.
Yeah.
And so he puts on Greyhound and he was watching it like on his lunch break, like 30 minutes at a crack or whatever. So he's like, he wants to watch it at home. So he doesn't have a device he could watch it on because I think he has like a Chromecast or something or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And or maybe it's a Fire Stick or I don't even know what he has, but he doesn't have an Apple TV. So he said he can't watch Apple TV Plus, or I don't even know what the story is. But he said, well, I could get it on my phone. And he has a thing on his phone where he plugs it into his phone and it goes to the TV through HDMI.
Oh, yeah.
So he puts that on and he's like, I'll just watch through the phone. He could watch everything and anything on his phone. The minute he hits Greyhound, it's a DRM thing. Can't watch it. Because it knows you're doing it
that
way.
You're doing it to the... It's not an OTT.
Exactly. And he's just like, what the... And I'm like, I know, man. That's the thing that me and Ted talk about all the time. You know? But it does suck, though. It's like, okay, why could I watch it on this thing, but I just want to watch it bigger, and I can't. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you gotta watch the Apple. You got to buy the box that they have for it, their special box.
I know. It's... I think you could get it on Roku though, Apple TV Plus, right?
Yeah, no, I get it on the LG, Smart Web OS, whatever. So it's fine.
Oh, so through the television?
Yeah.
Oh, did you move the television out into the?
Oh yes.
You're like, baby, I got to bring the 49 incher.
And the television too.
Oh, ba-doom.
Yeah, so back to what I'm watching. So Ted Lasso left such a halo on Apple TV Plus. That I watched the rest of Defending Jacob, and that's the crime drama. It's like a trial.
Never heard of it. Oh, okay. I did hear of it. Yes, that was
Captain America
in Boston.
Yeah, Captain America.
Now, was that a series or is that a movie?
It's a series.
It's a series. Oh, but
it's a series off of a book. So I would really call it if it's a series, it's going to be an anthology, but I couldn't really be. It's off of a book, so it's a limited. It's like a mini series.
Okay.
I mean, it wraps up very nicely. Relatively speaking.
Now, I was going to say, how does a murder thing where your kid's accused?
Now that I realize how it wraps up, I'm like, oh, that's only in the context of what's going on. All right. So finish that. Really good. Really, really nice to have something that I was worried about how I was going to go into another season.
What episode did we cover that in? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Yeah. That would have been good to put in my notes.
Got to put it in the notes.
All right. I also watched a lot of The Cabin. Have you watched any of The Cabin? I told you to watch that one part of The Cabin, just the beginning of the second episode.
I know. I haven't had a chance to. I will this week, though.
All right.
The Caitlyn Jenner one?
Yeah, I'm going to spoil a little bit for you. He tries to wax his ass in the first 10 seconds of this episode.
Well, that's not a spoiler if it's in the first 10 seconds. And I forget, what platform is it on?
Netflix.
Netflix, that's right.
Netflix, 100%. And then I tried to watch Brave New World on Peacock.
Brave New World.
It's the, okay. You know, it's kind of like...
We covered that in another episode, too.
Yeah, when we started the whole Peacock thing, we covered that.
Yeah, and what are you watching Peacock on? The LG, or...?
The LG has another little app for it. So okay. It's, in the house, we did it as the Amazon, but you had to hack it and, like, download an elite, like, a non-official Peacock.
Right, yeah, and I got the Comcast over the top.
Oh,
box.
Right. That's right.
I put on the box. I'm like, okay, there's Peacock. If ever I want to watch Peacock, I'll use it. But otherwise, this box sucks. I unplugged it. I plugged the Roku back in, and that's where we've been. I just don't like the interface.
Right. No, the interface is horrible. And are you in Hulu or are you pausing Hulu?
Right now, Hulu's paused.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to
that. I think that has one of the worst interfaces of all the streaming services.
Hulu does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hulu's pretty bad.
Hulu on the OTT especially is like, the OTT for Apple TV Plus is also very, very bad. It doesn't hold its spot. It, you know, like I watched Ted Lasso and it would say that it was going to the next episode and then it would just replay the first episode. And I was like, all right, this is the intro. Like it'll, you know, doesn't really skip intro very well. I was like, oh no. They just replayed the first episode. There's a lot of glitches in this Apple TV system, but the shows are phenomenal.
Yeah, and I would say Hulu is very similar too. Like we were watching The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu,
yeah.
And we would sit there, and this happened more than once. I mean, it probably happened, well, what is it, 3 seasons. It probably happened at least a good 5 to 8 times where you're like, all right, next episode. Like we watched an episode, we turned it off, we go to bed or something.
Uh-huh.
And then we come back the following day, and it's the next episode, but it's 37 minutes into the next episode. And I'm like, what the heck?
Did you guys fall asleep?
Are you watching this without me? You know? So you got to like back it up or something. Or let's wait until it runs through. And after it runs through, then we'll start the next one and then we'll pause it. And that tends to work, right?
Nice.
And here's another interesting thing. So we have a Roku box and we have a Roku TV. The Roku box, Roku functions differently than Roku does on the TV.
Hmm.
So Roku on the box with Hulu, like with The Handmaid's Tale, you watch it, go right to the next episode, just hit okay. On the television, what the Roku TV, it won't let you, well, you could manipulate it to go forward, but otherwise it shows you all the credits and everything, and it doesn't have right. The play next episode.
Yeah. Exactly.
You noticed that.
Well, not on the Roku, but on different platforms, they do different things. I think, you know, Apple TV.
But this is two Rokus with two Hulus watching the same show, and they perform differently. It's so annoying. All right, what else you got?
I don't know. That was kind of a lot. There's a lot of series in there.
Well, that's true. Oh, a lot of
and then
episodes.
I finally watched, and I should have written down this episode too, the trial, the Chicago
7?
Chicago 7.
You watched it?
I watched it.
It's out?
It's out.
Oh, how was it?
Amazing.
And what
Amazing.
Was that on again?
That is Netflix.
Oh, that's also Netflix.
Also
okay.
Netflix.
Oh, shoot. It's early enough. I might get into it.
Oh, go get it. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the acting caliber in there, like there are points like Aaron Sorkin when you hear.
So how
like
did Borat do?
Amazing.
Really?
So much heart. He was this character, you know?
And was he Abby Hoffman?
He's Abby Hoffman. Okay. And he took the stage and he kind of, they have this great storytelling device, or Aaron Sorkin has this great storytelling device where he has three distinct groups saying the exact same thing. And when you hear the cop on the sand say the same sentence as Abby Hoffman on stage saying the same sentence, and then the prosecuting attorneys saying the same, you know, like they have all these people in all these different states saying the same sentence and each invoking their own special meaning to that sentence. So it's like when the cop says it's different than when Abby Hoffman says it, than when the politician says it or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And we covered that, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. Recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Recent. And I'll wait to find out. I was going to ask if they had the robes when they take the robes off and they're in the Chicago police uniforms.
Well, that's in the trailer. That's in the trailer. Yes, that's in the.
It's in the trailer.
It's in one of the trailers. Maybe not the trailer we covered, but the later trailers, I think it was.
Oh,
one
so
of the
they did do
trailers.
That then.
Yeah, they did it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Because that was one of the like the more famous things from that from that trial.
So. Yeah, it's just well done all around. So
cool. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch it. Obviously, it's before our time and stuff.
Yeah.
But you hear about the 68 riots and the Democratic Convention and.
But at least it's your town. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah. And like I told you, my uncle was working it, you know,
and
all that stuff. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that when you're sitting around Thanksgiving and you have family talking about that era and it was like down the street sort of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though down the street might have been a few miles away, but still.
Still there.
Yeah, it's very cool. But
and then my very last thing was...
Oh, geez. This guy's like, I'm done. My very last thing.
And I have one more thing. I finally started What We Do in the Shadows, the series.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So that'll be the next one to power through. And
how far into it are you?
Episode 2.
Season so you one, just started.
Season, yeah. So I finished the pilot 6 months ago or something like that. I tried to watch it outside.
Okay.
And it was okay. And it was better than okay, but I guess I wasn't in the mood. I wasn't like now, like with all the time in the world. But the way that Ted Lasso is, so The Office gave birth to this video. It wasn't, maybe it's not The Office, but definitely The Office has this quality of talk to the camera and.
Yeah.
And just like the hokey, there's like a hokiness to it. And I don't think, was he in the, he wasn't in The Office, was he?
Who?
Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis. Jason Sudeikis was Saturday Night Live.
Okay. But right? The main thing about The Office and What We Do in the Shadows and so on, and other shows that are like it, the main thing about it is they're done in that mockumentary style.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if The Office, I mean, obviously, you know, you have, This Is Spinal Tap. You know, there's other things that did the mockumentaries. Or what was the one first in show?
Right, yeah, the Christopher Guest movies.
All the Christopher, yeah, exactly. And, you know, when you look at those, I mean, I think The Office just took it, you know, in the Ricky Gervais, the British version.
Right.
They just took it to the television from the movie version of doing that kind of stuff. Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows, I think, does it in a completely comical way as far
amazing.
As I'm concerned, because, you know, it's like you have this mockumentary of vampires.
No, and it's so hilarious that they go to city, like, I just finished episode 2, right? So they go to City Hall. And they come up with plans of taking over Staten Island.
Right.
And I love that the one guy, he's an energy vampire.
Right, right,
because he just
right.
sucks all the energy out of a room. And even the vampires don't like having him around.
There's, I don't remember which episode it was. It might have been one with witches that is like a couple seasons down the road from where you're at.
So tomorrow for me.
Yeah, exactly. Arguably the funniest episode of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like laugh out loud comedy, man. It was so funny when they meet the witches. That one was
awesome.
Good. Yeah. I also enjoyed, and I don't know what episode this is, but you'll see it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're vampires, so they don't have any presence.
Right.
and they get a package, and the guy's like, he gives them like the iPad to sign like on the iPad, and like he can't sign for it, and the guy's like, no, right here. He's like, I'm trying, you know. But because, you know, like you can't see him in the mirror and all this stuff. And yeah, it's pretty comical. I mean, it's great, you know. And and the thing about it, though, is there's kind of like on the nose funny.
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of on the nose funny. Right.
Right.
And then there's that just if you're not paying attention, you lose the subtleties. And it's those subtleties that you have to take a second to think about. And you're like,
right.
Oh, that was pretty funny. You don't even laugh, but you just stop and go, oh, I get it. You know, because it's like it's that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guarantee you, though, that show comes back with another episode. Or, I mean, another season.
Uh-huh.
I'm unpausing Hulu. That's the show that got us onto Hulu in the first place.
Right. Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So.
So that's up to the minute. That's why I said 8 o'clock, because I was like, how long before this episode's over? Oh, OK. I can finish it.
Yeah. And Ted's like, you know, well, hey, the sooner the better so I can stay up and watch.
Well, you're going to go and leave and watch the Trial of the Seven. So, oh, I, on Saturday, I watched Scream with Audrey for the first time. Audrey wanted to watch a horror movie, and Anne and Bryce didn't want to watch it. Or, you know, any of them. Like,
so Scream is the Drew Barrymore one?
I mean, would you call it the Drew Barrymore one? I mean, she's in it for 5 minutes. No spoilers, but come on.
Is that where she goes into the garage?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the one with the guy?
Rose McGowan.
With the weird, the murder guy is the one with the weird face?
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Here's the thing.
The weird face.
The weird face.
Thanks.
So here's the thing. Now that I got Scream figured out, I met, you know, I was dating this girl, right? Not even dating her yet. It was like, I think we went on a date, and I said, why don't you come over and watch a movie?
Mm-hmm.
So Scream was out at the time. This is like, what, 98 or something, I think is when it came out. Maybe 97, somewhere in that range.
96.
So 96, that long ago. Okay, but whatever.
But it's, December 96, so mainly 97.
Yeah, so maybe 96. So 97 is probably when I'm dating this girl. And I thought, you know, we go on a date or two, and I said, why don't you come over to my house, and we'll watch a movie? So she's like, oh, that sounds great. I'll come over. We'll watch a movie. I go. I rent Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, because I knew nothing about Scream, right? And I'm thinking like, oh, my God, she's going to be so scared. She's going to be crawling all over me. Whatever. I'll get some that night. So we watched Scream. That movie was so terrible.
Aww.
Well, okay. When you're trying to get laid, it was terrible. I'll put that caveat out there, right? It did not do its job. I thought she was gonna be like, "Oh my God, Jim, hold me! This is so scary. I need a strong strapping man to protect me." No, it didn't work. It didn't play out that way. It was kind of like, by the time it was over, she's like, "Oh, that was kind of dumb."
Oh no!
And I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." You have like some sort of kryptonite against this stuff, I guess, right? Because my plan didn't work on you.
Well, I think it's built up after initial viewing. Like, I liked it when it first came out, but it has built up quite a nostalgia that's kind of lived in. Yeah, it held up.
Really?
A lot of the things that they did in it were things that Audrey noticed in other TV and movies that she watches. So, you know, there's
to
definitely
to this
some,
day.
Yeah, to this day, the nuance of Wes Craven. Oh, that's where you get that. Or that's where that meme's from. You know what I mean? It's
give me an example. Or should I watch it again?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's like Courtney Cox's character, like doing the stand-ups in front of the house and in front of the school and stuff like that.
That's right. Courtney Cox was in it.
And it's like, this is where Courtney Cox met David Arquette. You know what I mean? So it's like Dewey, what's his name, right? Is that what they call him?
Yeah. So what did you guys watch it on?
On DVD.
Really? Like 480p? Not even
sure,
HD?
Sure. No, it was not HD. It was
standard
oh my God.
Def.
So it was standard def, but it was postage stamped. So it was made for a 4x3 television shooting, but then they postage stamped. They put the black bars on the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
So that when you play it on a widescreen TV, it just shows up as a postage stamp. So it's like this big.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. So it it comes when I had a
it's
laser.
It's not anamorphic, disc, is what it is.
Right. When I had a laser disc player, it was made for a 4:3 with widescreen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So you, it had the bars on top, not on the sides.
Right. Top and bottom.
Yeah. So then you don't cut off the ends and all that stuff. But then when you watch it on a widescreen TV, like you said, it puts it in the middle.
So I had to fool with that for 5 minutes to be like, I can zoom in, I can zoom in. So then it's not even like, forget that. It's like, you know, 560 or whatever. I don't even know what the lower.
Yeah, just something totally bizarre.
But you get over the blur because I think it's a fun story. I think it's really like, and Audrey the whole time, she's like, is that the murderer? Is that the murderer? Oh, I think he did it. I think she did it. I'm like, just watch the movie. Like,
so here's, I thought of Audrey today. So we were watching this thing on YouTube, this talk this guy did. Uh-huh. And like, he would lead the audience to some conclusion. And then I would like throw out what he was going to say next. Uh-huh. And he said the exact word. And I was like, I look at Clarissa, I'm like, boom, I knew it, you know? And then we're going along. And then, you know, he's kind of leading the audience, but he's telling this thing. It's like some bike infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, I'm kind of learning in the space.
Right.
And then I just throw out like what his conclusion to what he's saying. And it's like word for word on point accurate, you know, from exactly.
Is Clarissa around to hear it?
She was sitting next to me.
Okay, great. Perfect.
And so
witness for this stuff, you know?
And so I said it. And then Clarissa, I'm like, there it is. Bam. You know? And then I started laughing. I'm like, oh, that's probably Audrey's victory dance.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what she does.
Because I was driving Clarissa nuts. All right, Ted, we'll talk to you, brother.
Have a good night.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.